You are tuned in to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is William Buhlmann. William is America's leading expert on out-of-body experiences. The author's 35 years of extensive personal out-of-body explorations give him a unique and thought-provoking insight into the subject. His first book, Adventures Beyond the Body, chronicles his personal spiritual journey of self-discovery through out-of-body travel and provides the reader with the preparation and techniques that can be used for their own adventure. During the last 10 years, he has conducted an international out-of-body experience survey that includes over 18,000 participants from 42 countries. The provocative results of this survey are presented in his book, The Secret of the Soul. This cutting-edge book explores the unique opportunities for personal growth and profound spiritual awakenings that are experienced during out-of-body travel. You can visit William's website at www.astralinfo.org. So now, let's welcome William to the show. Hi, William. How are you?
Hi, Lance. And how are you?
I'm pretty good. Kind of laid back tonight. I was contemplating having an out-of-body experience, but I wanted to be present for the interview. Well, I have to tell you, I'm still reading both of your books, and they are just amazing, with just chock full of information about the spiritual bodies, the astral plane, the chakras. I mean, everything you could possibly want is in there, including all kinds of fascinating experiences that people have shared about their own out-of-body experiences. Maybe you could just fill us in briefly about what prompted you to begin this journey.
Well, a friend of mine had a spontaneous out-of-body experience when I was in college, and he told me about it, and it motivated me to investigate it. And when I did, I found out there was techniques you could use to self-initiate the experience. Mm-hmm. So I selected one and practiced it, and lo and behold, after about 20 days, I had my first fully conscious experience. And it was, put it bluntly, it was a life-changing experience.
Ah.
So it's, then I became really just, I had to know more, do more, and I became pretty much dedicated to having these experiences and learning as much as I could.
Mm-hmm. So now, when you did you have a period where you were falling asleep and then you came to, or how did that come about? Because it's such an unusual experience to have. What happened?
Well, there's techniques that you can, if you like, I can share one. But the
yes,
technique
I'd love
that
to
I use was called the
yeah.
target technique. The first time I had mine. I selected three targets that were separated from me in my mother's home. I was in my dorm room at the time, and what I did is every night as I fell asleep, I would imagine myself going to these targets, and I would touch them, feel them, make it, basically pretend I was there mm-hmm. in my imagination. And on the 24th day, I actually initiated my own experience, my you feel like, for me, it's always a vibratory, high vibratory sensation. And the next thing I knew, I was sleeping on my side, and I reached out my arm and my hand, and it entered the wall. And that's when it really hit me that I had, you know, was out of my body.
Wow.
But it's a very common experience, by the way. There's estimates that 50 million people just in the United States every year have some kind of out-of-body experience. Because there's a lot of common elements to it. For instance, if those that have ever had the jolt awake, that's related to it. sleep paralysis is related to out-of-body experiences,
mm-hmm.
but people haven't, unfortunately, connected the dots.
Mm-hmm.
Any kind of vibratory sensation seen through closed eyelids, these are all an indication that you're on the very edge of having a fully conscious experience. But most people haven't been trained in how to react.
Mm-hmm.
So they overreact or it scares them because they have no knowledge of what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So what I've tried to do over the last 39 years is basically learn all I could and then train people to, let's just say, relax and respond and have the experience and really get the most out of it and become explorers on their own, not just believe, but actually experience it and then explore it for themselves, because that's that's what makes it truly exciting. This is not about any belief system. This is about people having their own experience and then making their own judgment call. And there isn't many things out there that are really like that today. Most things are belief systems.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
this subject has no beliefs attached to it. It's strictly learn to do it, and then you make your own judgment.
Right, right. And it seems like a lot of people get frightened when they have that first initial experience where they're at the threshold. And it seems also that the more a person would be attached to material things, the more frightening that experience might be. It seems that there's a disconnect to the material realms that's necessary to make those transitions into the, I guess, inner planes. Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, there's in general, of course, you know, it's we live in a strange society where we're totally obsessed with the physical world, of course, but yet in the same token, 99% of people believe in the concept of a soul.
Yeah.
Which means if you believe in a soul, of course, it means that we continue without our bodies.
Right.
So it's only logical. There's no reason that we are stuck in a physical body our entire life, because that's not who we are. It's a temporary vehicle of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole idea for out-of-body exploration is to become knowledgeable so you can handle the experience and you relax through it. And then you can have a profound experience yourself, because a lot of people consider this a profound spiritual event.
Mm-hmm.
Because it proves to them, number one, that they are immortal. It suddenly takes you beyond the believer stage,
mm-hmm.
and you're a knower. And from then on, you can begin to explore the non-physical realities that exist all around us. Because the universe that we see, the physical world, is just the epidermis. It's just the outer layer.
Mm-hmm.
And as we have out-of-body experience, we're moving inward into these other dimensions. And we can experience and explore it firsthand, and that's what's exciting about this topic, the whole self-empowerment of it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. This is one of the most exciting areas, fields of research, I think, that there is on the planet today. And you're right there on the cutting edge of it, so, you know, hats off to you for doing this research and sharing it with all of us.
Well, it's a universal experience. An out-of-body experience is a separation of consciousness from the body, and it occurs. One thing I learned very quickly is this occurs in every society, every culture. It's been written about. It's in the Bible. It's in the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, the Quran is based on the out-of-body experience, essentially, of Muhammad. The night mm-hmm. journey is when he leaves his body and goes from one city to another. And then he, of course, I'm not going to go into much detail here, but the entire basis of many religions, including Islam, is based on out-of-body experiences. They were just interpreted in, let's just say, in a different language, in a different context than what we would look at it today. But this is a common experience that's been around a long time. We're just kind of, in a sense, rediscovering the universal nature of it in the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm. And it also seems like a very constructive way to journey, with the pressures of society and the way that things are set up on this wacky planet, it seems that we're almost encouraged to escape into illusions and alcohol and drugs and various other pursuits that don't really take us anywhere except down a dead-end street. And this is a road that is less traveled, and yet it seems that once we begin to pursue this, this is something that will help us in all our affairs, especially it relates to the near-death experience as well, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It's one of the elements. Out-of-body experience, of course, is one of the seven common phenomena associated with, according to Raymond Moody and other people that have written books about it. Dr. Raymond Moody talks about an out-of-body experience as being part of the near-death experience. But the two are, just to be clear, the two topics are actually quite different, because the near-death experience, of course, involves a temporary death of the person. In other words, essentially your heart may stop for 30 seconds, but people can have out-of-body experience, and they do, millions and millions of people. It's much more common experience. You're just asleep, and suddenly you wake up and you find yourself floating, or you find yourself in another place, and suddenly it's shocking to people. This is much more common than near-death experiences.
Right, right.
And it's to the point of being universal. It's just that we are in our society, people are not trained in how to recognize it, or even know what to do with it once they have the experience, because it's so shocking they snap right back to their body. Because there's only one rule in this exploration, and that is don't think. If you think of your body, you'll return to
you're
it
in
immediately.
It. Right. There,
and that's it.
Other
than, but you have to condition yourself. That's
yeah.
why I do these, as you probably know, I do six-day workshops. I just got back from one yesterday at the Monroe Institute.
Wow.
And we do an entire program around this where people are trained that not only have the experience but to control the experience. And
that's wonderful.
And people take it quite seriously. I mean, and pursue it as it's like a spiritual path for many, many people.
Well,
and it's exciting because you're no longer part of a belief system.
Right.
You're no longer just believing what other people have told you. You have the opportunity to explore it for yourself and confirm it for yourself. And that's what really turns people on, is the whole idea of this self-confirmation and self-empowerment, you know, that I can have my own, and it's, what it really leads to is your own powerful spiritual experience. And then you obtain the answers instead of depending and shaping your entire concept of reality based on belief systems that have changed and been manipulated over thousands of years.
Right, right. Usually for the purpose of gaining financial wealth.
Oh, absolutely. And power
control,
and money.
Yeah.
Controls, a lot of the belief systems.
Yeah.
And, matter of fact, that's generally the common denominator of those two.
Indeed it is. Indeed it is. Well, we're taught by religions to be disempowered and to turn over our power to an intermediary or multiple intermediaries because we are not powerful. So it seems like a very disillusioning process to go down that road.
Well, what I find exciting about the topic is that it gives us an opportunity to discover the answers for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
What are we? Where did we come from? Where are we going?
Mm-hmm.
These are important questions that many of us never really ask. And because that is the core. It's like everybody's, like I mentioned in the movie, The Path. I mean, it's like everybody's on this 90-year-old train ride, but nobody knows the destination.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy. We should be able to know.
It is crazy.
We wouldn't get up in the morning and not know where we're going every day. But yet we'll do it for our entire life.
Yes, I mean, that is
the
insane.
The answers are available if you're willing to self-empower yourself and begin to explore beyond this narrow facade that we have. Yes, I'm back. I don't know what happened there. It was just, I don't have a clue.
I don't either. That doesn't usually happen. Well, the powers from the other side are stepping in and interfering with our conversation. I guess they don't feel like being visited today. What are some of the things that you discover on the other side? I'm calling it now the other side. I guess it's the other side of this reality. What are some of the things that you've discovered personally? And have you found some of the answers to those questions that you asked earlier?
Well, yes, we have. Not only myself, but many other people take this topic of out-of-body exploration very seriously, and people become explorers.
Mm.
What we found is that essentially the afterlife is a thought-responsive dimension and dimensions of reality,
mm-hmm.
and that what people experience after they die is essentially they enter a consensus reality built by collective or group thought.
Mm.
And what people consider to be heaven is actually a creation that they've made as a collective.
Mm.
And like minds are drawn together if they resonate close to one another. In other words, people that have the same beliefs have a tendency to form group societies that are very much like the one here on Earth, except there's no war, there's no famine, there's none of the negative things that many people experience in their lives. There's no illness, starvation. But so they assume they're in heaven, but what they've actually entered is just another dimension of reality that is vibrating at a much finer rate. So in other words, it's less dense, many times less dense.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that have died generally will, your energy body, or what some people call their astral body that they experience, will respond to your thoughts. And often, not only do people join a collective society of people they know and are familiar with and are comfortable with, but they generally, after people die, they're generally around in their 20s because their subconscious mind will mold an energy body that is what they perceive to be their ideal. And that's what we have, and I and many others have experienced in these massive, and we're talking about massive societies that are just as big as the societies on Earth, millions and millions and millions of people living in non-physical realities, just like we do in many respects. It's not the airy-fairy, world that many people have perceived it to be.
Uh-huh.
It's very much a three-dimensional world most people experience, just like we do here. It's just vibrating at a much finer rate.
Mm.
And there's worlds that are, some of them are parallel to us.
Mm-hmm.
And there's different as you move inward and explore, you'll find that there's multiple, let's just call them levels or vibrations of reality. And we know this from entering them in full consciousness. And that's what makes this subject so exciting. It's not speculation. People have their own, what I tell people if they want to meet their loved ones is just how to do it, to meet them face to face.
Huh.
We have that ability. If both people wish to, they can, and they do all the time. And I write about this. One of my books, I talk about Michael Crichton, the famous author who wrote Jurassic Park.
Oh, yeah.
A meeting. He writes about this in one of his books, and I think it was Travels or something, but he talks about in detail about having self-initiating astral projection and meeting his dead father and resolving issues that he had with him while he was alive.
Wow.
So it isn't, there's a lot of people having these kinds of experiences. And what it does is allows us to open up and to, let's just say, tap into these other realities that are not that far removed from us. They're just vibrating at a different level. And it's almost a shame that, you know, religions just call this heaven. But actually what it is millions of realities all created by collective thought. And what we've tried to do to the best of our ability is to explore these in a non-biased way, so you actually see the reality for what it is, and not through rose-colored glasses of New Age or religious beliefs.
Right, right.
And that's, in other words, what's the actual, that's the key here, to find the truth of our reality, not just this projection of what we would like to believe.
Right, right.
And it's very exciting because everybody has this ability. It's just been dormant. The Tibetan monks have been doing this for since the beginning of their religion. The Tibetan Book of the Dead goes into great length about how to leave your body. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, they have some very difficult techniques for doing it. What we've done is, and what I have tried to do is present it in a more modern way, where it's achievable for the average person. You don't have to be a monk and go into a cave for 10 years.
Right.
You can practice these techniques that I write about in the comfort of your own home as you're falling asleep every night. And it only takes 15 minutes. It's like meditation.
Yeah. Well, I've noticed that you've got dozens and dozens of techniques in your book, Adventures Beyond the Body, for sure. And I'm just about at the point where I'm ready to start trying this myself. So this is something that really interests me a lot because it is a way to explore the other realms and become an explorer and an adventurer in my own world and find out what's over there.
I tell you, it is incredibly exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
When I do a workshop, I don't, for instance, and this is fresh on my mind because I just returned from a six-day workshop the other day. And during the course of the workshop, we do 27 different techniques, 27 sessions where you're in deep, deep meditation. So it gives people an opening. Mm-hmm. And, of course, at the Monroe Institute, everybody's in their own check unit, which is a controlled environment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite special. But the point is that it's through training we can have the ability to expand our consciousness beyond what we in the past would think is only this dense three-dimensional facade is real.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it really, once you have one experience, it's like, wow, it changes everything.
Because
you no longer have to be a pawn of, let's just say, other people's beliefs.
Right, right.
That's an eye opener because it isn't. No one can tell us the truth. We have to discover it for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we go out of our way, you know. And that's what makes this different than, let's just say, just believe. I never tell anybody what to believe. I want them to discover for themselves what mm-hmm. they are and where they're going and what this reality truly is to them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what is really life-changing for people.
Now, you were talking about some of the lower dimensions where there are whole societies set up that are coexisting with this one in a slightly less dense plane. Have people been able to penetrate some kind of relatively, I guess there is no such thing, but is there a closer to an objective reality that people are finding as well that's beyond all of that?
There's realities beyond realities, we're finding in our explorations. It's incredible. And, each one is vibrating at a different level, each one. And as we move inward, we're far more complex than what we've been told.
Mm-hmm.
This whole concept of body, mind, spirit is way too simplistic.
Mm-hmm.
We possess multiple energy bodies. And each energy body, it functions in its own dimension. And, of course, this is exactly what quantum physicists are saying today.
Right.
The general talk in scientific circles is that there's anywhere from 12 to 24 dimensions. And this is no longer just crazy talk. This is the hardcore scientists of the world are now confirming this mathematically and otherwise, that there's multiple dimensions of reality.
Mm-hmm.
And I write about this in Adventures Beyond the Body. I compare, you know, this mystical search for answers to the scientific search for answers, and how the two now are coming closer and closer together, because this idea of multiple dimensions is now considered just scientists all acknowledge that there are other dimensions. Their only thing they're fighting over is how many.
Right.
And most people don't even realize this. The old Newtonian model is long gone in science.
Mm-hmm.
This idea of the spinning atoms and this cute little model that we learned when I'm 61, that I learned in school.
Me too.
That model is proven to be totally incorrect. That's not the foundation of matter at all. We're discovering that it's quantum fields. And what is these other dimensions of reality? And it's not too big of a leap to think that, of course, you experience this. What's the first thing you're going to do, especially 2,000 years ago, but put a label like heaven on it?
Mm-hmm.
Because compared to the Earth, it certainly was heaven. I mean, it's certain, or nirvana, or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
So they just put these labels on these realities. But as we progress, we move, in a sense, inwardly into the universe, into progressively less dense, let's just say, dimensions of reality.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what spiritual evolution is about. I have found that as we progress and grow, we become less, let's just say, weighed down by the densities that we hold.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, fear is a density. Our limits, our blocks, our feet, you know, all these things are limiting us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a heavy energy, so we have a tendency, and once you realize this, you begin, people work on themselves also. So it becomes a spiritual path for people. But it's exciting because it's almost to the point where we can do our own scientific study of our own universe, of our own self, through self-exploration,
mm-hmm.
instead of having to depend on authors and books. And that's the last thing I want anyone to do, is depend on what I've experienced. I want people to be empowered to have their own experiences.
Because
that's the only way people really get lit up and get excited, I found. Because then everything changes. It's like, oh, my God, I can do this myself. I don't have to depend on Bill or anyone else to show me the ropes here.
Right, right.
But that's what makes this topic so incredibly exciting, because most things you can't prove to yourself. You know, I know you have lots of guests and lots of topics.
Mm-hmm.
But this is one of those few topics with doing some simple exercises like the target technique or affirmations or any of the techniques I write about in my books,
mm-hmm.
you can have your own experience, and you don't have to be, you know, you can't necessarily prove that there's life on other planets from your own house, but
right.
You can prove this. You can prove a lot of the topics probably that you cover on your show,
mm-hmm.
the average person can't. But this you can, and that's what separates it, I think. It makes it so exciting.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's no question about that. You know, how practical can it be if it's information that's pie in the sky and we can never figure it out? And a lot of the religious information is like that. You know, it's just belief systems handed to us on a platter, and, you know, unfortunately.
Yeah, and just believe it.
Right, right.
And that's the last thing I would ever do.
Right, right. That's
is tell somebody, just believe this. I don't want anybody believing anything. One of the things that I try to teach in my workshop is not to be dependent on any belief system,
mm-hmm.
because they're all anchors. that holds us back? Because if it's man-made, it's probably flawed, the number on some level.
Right.
And right. So it's the key is for us to become self-empowered, to seek the truth beyond the facade. And that's what this gives us that ability to do. But another important point that we haven't mentioned, this is people have these experiences spontaneously all over the world. You know, we're talking, I'm kind of focused on self-initiation.
Uh-huh.
But most of the experience, out-of-body experiences, by the way, are very spontaneous.
Huh.
They're occurring to children. They're occurring to people of all ages, all religions. But they don't have a reference point. So they just block it as, that had to be a dream. You know, it's like a mind-blowing thing. A lot of times at the beginning.
So continue with what you were saying, we were talking about, or started something new, if you like.
Well, one of the things I did want to get across is the fact that there's universal phenomena that's associated with this that many people are unaware of.
Right.
We call it the vibrational state. But paralysis, any part of your body, being, let's just say, inability to move while you're asleep. Now, I like to make it clear that people just don't have out-of-body experiences while they're walking around. These generally happen when your body is either asleep or if you're in a deeply relaxed state, like a deep meditation, etc. But for most people, they occur when your body's asleep.
Uh-huh.
And people will often get a vibratory feeling moving through them. Parts of their body will be, it'll feel like they're paralyzed because that's part of the separation process.
Okay.
And, of course, this scares people. Because they don't know what's happening. This is why I wrote Secret of the Soul and have an entire chapter devoted to children's out-of-body experiences. Because children will have these experiences spontaneously quite often and repeat them. So this is just nature's way of providing us an opportunity of, let's just say, exploring deeper within ourselves.
Uh-huh.
Exploring our true self, because our physical body is just like it's like our vehicle. It's just a temporary vehicle we're using for, you know, 80 years or however we're here. And then at death, it's just we just separate from that vehicle and move our awareness into a higher vibratory vehicle of consciousness. But my point is, these are common things that occur. A seeing through closed eyelids, for instance, while you're laying in bed is an indication. There's a lot of the hearing your name called is very common. Feeling yourself being touched or someone, a presence around you.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't realize a lot of that is because you're connecting to your inner senses. You're in an out-of-body experience. You're transferring your awareness, in a sense, or extending your awareness into another vibratory body that you already possess, more subtle body. Now, people generally call it the astral body or the etheric.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, it's a natural process. What most people don't know is that every night, all 7 billion of us separate during sleep. We're actually moving out of phase from our physical body.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just slightly, maybe it's only half an inch or an inch. But everyone is disconnecting from their body. That's what sleep is. It's a slight disconnect and a recharging that's occurring from our energy body. Our entire energy system is recharging, and it's essential for life. And this applies to all living things. So this is a natural process. It's not something that's unusual. It's just that we're just starting to get a handle on how it's caused and and how we can use it. But this is, matter of fact, I know people that once they start to have the experience will continue to have it for months on end. And they're also misinterpreted. People think they're being abducted by aliens. People think it's somebody's trying to control them or they have ghosts in the room.
Uh-huh.
I see this misinterpretation constantly. You may hear your name called or something like that. Because once you start to disconnect from your body, you're entering another dimension of reality.
Huh.
And when you do, there's contact will occur. I've been in contact with my mother, who has died, my uncle. This is common. These are common occurrences once you are aware of what's happening. Dr. Raymond Moody states that almost 80% of people will have some kind of contact with a loved one in the first week of their death.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you'll either perceive it in a dream state, or you'll perceive it in an out-of-body state, or psychically.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me? But it's just a matter of how open you are to the experience and the way you frame it. And most people don't know the difference, so they frame everything as a dream.
Right, right. So now, it's really important, it seems, once you have that initial phasing out, either the buzzing or the feeling of, you know, the various vibrations that you described that can be a little bit frightening, it would be important then to, at that moment, go through that, right, and to consciously ride that to...
Yeah.
So that you can pass through that state into the other realm of consciousness.
Right, and that's what many people don't do, because it's so strange. This can be a very, for the first time you have this experience, it's a very strange feeling.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't understand what's happening. And what people do, they think of their body.
Mm-hmm.
And once you think of your body, you immediately start to shut down the process. But if you relax into it and release your awareness into mm-hmm. this state, you will begin to separate from your body. And that's part of the training that I do at the Monroe Institute, is training people how to do this, where you relax, you release through the vibratory state
mm-hmm.
and let yourself go, essentially, and experience that other energy body in its fullness. And then separate your full of consciousness. And many people, I mean, people confirm this to themselves. I've seen my own body from an external location. But you'll know it's real when it happens, because mm-hmm. you have control over your new, or new, for you it would be new, energy body.
Right.
And you don't have the light, let's just say you're, the freedom, yet your freedom of this new energy body is far more enhanced. And
so
that's why the potential is always there to obtain the answers, because we're closer to the source. So, in other words, people can just spontaneously have profound spiritual experiences once they let go. Or they can connect with a loved one and meet their deceased mother, or whatever they need for their development,
mm-hmm.
whatever they're open to, as long as they don't let fear take over and let conditioning take over. You follow me?
Yes.
That's why the training and knowledge of this is more and more important, because the more open you are to the reality of what is, the less you are to shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's so important to become knowledgeable about what the process is, which, you know, you described it quite well. A lot of people call this phasing. That's mm-hmm. one of the terms used. You begin to just phase out of the physical and feel your consciousness transferring to the non-physical. And in that, once that process is complete, which, by the way, only takes a matter of seconds if you allow it to occur, your physical body is asleep in the bed, but you could be anywhere in full conscious awareness. It's not a dream-like experience.
Right, right. You're actually there.
This
in
matter
in
of fact,
your reality.
You can have experiences that are far more aware and alive feeling than you do in your physical body, because your senses can be far more acute. Your vision, your perception can be far, let's just say, everything can be far more intense even. But that's a matter of self-conditioning, getting yourself prepared for this shift of consciousness. And it's also very safe. This is a natural process. That's what I really want to get across to people. This is not something strange or alien.
Mm-hmm.
Every society has been doing this since the beginning of time. Shaman have been doing it for 10,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
The Buddhists write about it in detail in the Tibetan Book of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Hindus have been writing about this process. This is, you know, even the New Testament talks about this, you know, where you see St. Paul saying, whether in the body or out of the body, I know not, but this is what happened.
Huh.
And then it'll go into other phrases that they're using. And it's funny how people slough over these statements.
Right, right.
But the beginning of Revelations even begins with the first three lines of Revelations is a very interesting intro, because they basically give an introduction to an out-of-body experience.
Huh.
But people haven't connected the dots. And they talk about hearing things they wouldn't hear in the physical world, because
seeing
a lot
colors.
Of people get noises.
Yeah,
they get
yeah.
strange vibrations. They get bells. They get all kinds of things are occurring. But it's once you get a handle on this, you realize this has been written about in all religious texts around the world. Unfortunately, we just haven't connected the dots and realized the importance of it.
Now,
because
what
this is a core element of all spiritual paths, including many people that do all kinds of yoga and go into deep, deep trance. I'm not talking about hatha yoga, but some of the more intense yogas of the mind, like Raja Yoga, Kundalini Yoga. These people have had a body experiences.
Uh-huh.
It's because it's the same kind of thing. They're just trained differently. And they're using different terminology.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to use Western terminology that we all understand and can relate to.
Now, what about the fears that people have about disincarnate spirits, for instance, in the astral plane? I know that a lot of people are afraid of traveling.
Yes.
Because can you address
that? I'm glad you asked that.
Yeah.
Because the number one, as I mentioned earlier, that is not a problem. I've never run into a problem in my 39 years.
Wow.
And let me rephrase it in a different way.
Okay.
As I said earlier, all of us are having out-of-body experiences. We're just not conscious of it. If this was an issue, we'd all have an issue with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everybody
yeah.
essentially vulnerable during sleep is what I'm saying.
Right, right.
Everybody, because you're open. You're opening up. You're having experiences. If that was really an issue, you know what I mean? It would be a universal
yeah.
issue. It's
right.
not. Now, granted, you have to be educated. I am not saying that it's everything is purity, because
right.
the inner worlds are a reflection of the outer worlds and vice versa. So, yes, you have to be prepared for, you have to learn certain things so you're knowledgeable about what you're dealing with, but that's like any other thing. It's like when you cross the street, you got to look both ways.
Right.
It doesn't mean we don't cross the street.
Right, right.
And it's the same thing for being an explorer. I mean, if Columbus was afraid of the ocean, I don't think we'd be standing on this land today.
That's
I mean,
right.
we have to have the courage to go beyond the shore to gain knowledge of the new worlds.
Uh-huh.
Same as we do in space flight. You have to be able to extend yourself beyond the comfort of the let's just say, the physical home. Or you'll never extend your own, let's just, your awareness and your own capabilities enough to obtain your own answers.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of becoming an explorer. Some people have the courage to do this, and some people don't. It's not for everyone.
Well, that makes sense. That makes sense. Now, is it possible to figure out which dimension or energy level that you're exploring? For instance, they probably don't have signs saying you're now entering the sixth dimension.
No, you can generally tell, and again, that's why I do a six-day workshop, because there's a lot to be, let's just say, presented in this topic.
But you have tons of information.
One of the main areas, if you're standing, if you leave your body and if you're looking at your environment, and it's a physical duplicate or almost duplicate, you are in your densest energy body.
Okay.
That's one way to tell instantly. If you begin to move through a door, and suddenly reality changes, and you're in a green field, you have entered another dimension, generally speaking.
Okay.
Within yourself.
Okay.
And that's what, and there's keys that you can tell where you are at any given time. But that's one of the easiest ways to tell.
Okay.
At least when you've shifted from the what I call the parallel world, or other people have called the etheric, and you move into the astral dimension. Because that's what we're talking about, different dimensions of reality. They're just vibratory levels. And each one is progressively less dense than the next.
Okay.
Because according to science, by the way, this is, I think your listeners may find this interesting. It's confirmed that matter cannot exist hanging out in the universe by itself. It must have an energy substructure.
Uh-huh.
Whether you call it dark matter or whatever you want to call it, they don't know what kind of term to give it. But based on our exploration, the etheric level, this energy duplicate world, this is a substructure of matter. When you have an out-of-body experience, you're actually entering the substructure.
Uh-huh.
And that's, so you're beginning to go into more into the heart of reality and move inward away from this epidermis that we experience in the physical world.
Okay, I can see that now.
So it's always an inner journey, of course, and which is exactly what the Buddhists teach us in their teachings.
Right, right.
About going to the clear light of the void, for instance. They're talking about going beyond form-based realities. Monks are trained to teach people to go beyond form, because that is, they're going inner. They go continue to the quest. The spiritual quest is to go inward to the highest vibratory place you can experience. You know, in other words, self-illuminate. You know, there's different words for this.
Mm-hmm.
And we do the same thing in out-of-body exploration. But we try to do it in a more, let's just say, a little more scientific manner, a little more Western that people can relate to.
How important is it to be consistent about making those efforts before you actually have an experience? Do some people have them faster?
Yes, it's very important that you pick a location, select an exercise, whatever it may be, a method to induce your experience, and you stick with it and do it daily. You know, it doesn't take a lot of time. Like it took me 24 days to have my first experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people are naturals and can have it the first day,
mm-hmm.
and some people have to work at it for months even. It took me 24 days of daily practice.
Wow.
This was something that was easy to do. You know, we're talking about 15 minutes as you're falling asleep.
Right.
It's something you can incorporate into your daily life or while you're taking a nap.
Mm-hmm.
But the key is to do it daily because, you know, the old saying, it takes 21 days to build a habit.
Yeah, right.
We have to condition our subconscious mind to begin to accept this capability as being a, let's just say, something that we can accept.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes, for most people, it takes a little time to condition yourself. But the same applies to meditation. Very few people can just sit and suddenly be good at meditating the first day.
Right.
It takes practice for people to start to still the mind. And the same, this is kind of like the same thing. You have to be able to still the mind. You have to be able to calm yourself. You have to be able to then focus away from your body and hold that focus. So it's in many ways very similar to meditation in the way I approach it. Because a lot of the skills are the same. Because you have to be able to begin to at least tame that monkey mind a little bit.
Right.
So you can focus, because you have to have a focusing point. And generally, many people use some kind of either motion technique or target technique. And to project your consciousness away from your body, you have to be able to focus your consciousness away from your body.
Mm-hmm.
Which is one of the skills that people learn. But it's not difficult. It's just a matter of, like meditation, beginning to train yourself to slow down and to direct your attention. And that's one of the ways we initiate these experiences. It's very safe, by the way, and very natural. And many people, many of the techniques that I teach people to do are just like, matter of fact, there's no difference than meditation for many people. Mm-hmm. And many people have told me that. Well, this is just meditation with a purpose. That's what I've heard from people. Or meditation with a clear, defined purpose.
Right.
And that's what this is about, self-initiation of your own experience. And target is just one way of doing that, having targets.
Mm-hmm.
But different people resonate with different approaches.
Mm.
But what we've tried to do is develop a system that people can use and be, in other words, something usable that we can all do. That doesn't require this huge commitment of time, because
right.
I know we all have busy lives. So we have to be able to incorporate these techniques into our daily lives effectively. So the techniques that I present are generally very, very precise and very clear, and you can do them in 10, 15 minutes you're falling asleep or taking a nap, ideally.
Do you use sound as well, music? Or I know I've got some CDs that have alpha, theta, and delta brainwaves synchronized. Are those things helpful?
Yes, they are. Anything, and that's what I use in my workshops. Use a lot of, I use Hemisync technology.
Oh, I like that. That's terrific.
I use a lot of that to get people to go to what's considered like Focus 10,
uh-huh.
is a mind awake, body asleep. That's one of the primary focus levels that people learn at the Monroe Institute. And then you move into deeper states from there. And these binaural beats and the way they're presented help us to quickly, that's one of the advantages of modern technology. It allows us to go into a deep meditative state faster.
Yeah.
That's the whole purpose of Hemisync.
Yeah.
Is to get your essentially, that's what it's, Hemisync is to allow the two hemispheres of your brain to become more synchronized, essentially. And there's a proven technology behind this, so it allows us to go into deeper states faster.
Absolutely.
So, because many of us don't have the training that they do in the East, let's say in India and Tibet, where people have been trained to meditate from young ages.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, we use technology to help people to get there faster.
I think that's a terrific idea. William, we're just about at the end of the hour. I'd like you to mention how people can reach you and mention your books again. They're wonderful books. I'm working on them now as we speak. Could you let people know how we can find you?
Yes. The best way is to go to my website, which is astralinfo.org, and I'll have my workshop schedule there. I do. My books are in 12 languages now.
Wonderful.
So they're readily available all around the world. And I do, generally I do 4 or 5 workshops at the Monroe Institute every year. And I do them also in Italy, and I'll do, like in February, I'll be in Tokyo.
Wonderful.
But any of the upcoming events can easily be checked out at astralinfo.org.
Terrific. Well, William, thank you for sharing this with us. Sorry about those disconnects. I don't know what happened. But,
no problem.
We made it through that, and
yeah.
I'm going to be continuing to experiment with this. And believe me, when I have a breakthrough, everybody will be hearing about it, and you'll be part of the cause. So thank you so much.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right.
Yeah, make it a daily practice.
All right. And happy travels, everyone, and good night.